KFSR presents Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, featuring stories of people of the valley, produced by media communications and journalism students at Fresno State, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning, I'm Brittany Sosa.
And I'm Ed Marchila. We're really glad you joined us this morning. We're embarking on a new adventure in the Fresno State Mass Communication and Journalism Department.
First, Edmer, we need to announce our name change.
Oh, that's right. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, well, I'm not sure that it's officially official just yet, but we know it's been approved. For the past 23 years, we have been called the Department of Mass Communication and Journalism, right? But times have changed. So has the communication industry. So to keep up with the times, we've changed our name to Media Communications and Journalism, which really is more legit.
But we kept the same initials. We're still MCJ. So back to this new adventure that we're embarking on in the department of MCJ. Our new radio class has begun producing radio stories, and this morning, we're airing our first show. It has a little bit of something for everyone, but all of our stories are about people of the valley.
On today's debut show, we feature a metal artist, an upholsterer, and a bulldog with a vlog. We'll also take a serious look at student depression.
But first, this is the second week of October, and if you're from around these parts, you know what that means.
The cooler weather?
Well, not necessarily, although it was cooler for a few days, but now it's hot again. Perfect weather for the big Fresno Fair.
You're right, Edmer. Well, if you were born in Fresno or have lived in Fresno or have ever visited Fresno, chances are you have heard of the big Fresno Fair. Am I right?
The fair is an annual event that helps showcase a whole year's worth of work for those in the agriculture industry. This includes many students who are involved in FFA or 4-H. Tristan Lewis has a story of one young woman whose life is centered around her livestock.
Every morning at 6 a.m., you'll find 16-year-old Riley Roca at Central West High School.
Ag has been a huge part of my family ever since I was little. I can remember just always going out with horses and cattle.
Riley is an ag student and a member of FFA and her local 4-H chapter, where she participates in the county fair. When she was in junior high school, she raised hogs.
I showed hogs in 4-H and I didn't have the best experience. Neither one of my hogs made weight, so that made it really tough for me to want to continue showing hogs.
Then she went off to high school when she found her true calling.
So when I came into high school, I said, you know what, I really want to try something new. And so I started showing lambs and I fell in love with the animal and the species and it started from there.
One of those lambs were able to get the title of Reserve Champion Crossbred, while the other was named Reserve Dorset. Riley keeps her animals on campus where she feeds and trains them. It's all in preparation for the upcoming Big Fresno Fair. However, Riley's journey in agriculture didn't start there. She began her adventure when she was just 9 years old, joining 4-H. Riley is still involved today, and she was recently chosen as the 2015-2016 4-H Fresno County All-Star.
Being in 4-H for 9 years, I've been able to learn how to succeed through the program and just help younger members succeed as well.
Livestock judging in ag has been something that just ran in her family. Her mother, Cambria Dyes, was also involved in 4-H and FFA when growing up. Just like her daughter, Dyes also showed lambs while she competed in livestock judging.
Both 4-H and FFA are good programs. And FFA, because you have so many adults involved that are good leaders, and it's not mom telling you what to do, it's just extra good people on your kid's side.
All of the responsibility to prepare for the fair is on Riley. To get her animals ready, she's out at the school farm early every morning to feed. Then she heads off to class. Once school lets out, she's back at the barn practicing showmanship with her lambs and walking them.
So I actually come out to the farm quite often, pretty much on a daily basis. I work out here from anywhere from 2 hours a day, half an hour a day, maybe even 3 hours a day. It just really depends on what my lambs are looking like that week and how they are improving.
Along with the other students, Riley is also responsible for cleaning the barn. She usually comes home around 6:30 or 7 o'clock at night. Riley is also in charge of all of her financial obligations that come with getting a livestock animal ready for judging.
She's the one who is paying for everything. She's using her money from her previous projects to pay for this year's projects. I just make sure she goes where she's supposed to go.
Although a lot of the responsibility is on Riley's shoulders, she's not entirely alone. She's a part of the Fresno Central FFA team, where she's her current chapter's president. She has access to so many different ag advisors that help her by guiding her in preparing for livestock judging.
I also have to give credit to my FFA advisors, because without them, I wouldn't be in the office or in any of the projects that I am today.
June Bencourt is one of those ag advisors at Central West High School who help make sure that kids like Riley know what they are doing while they get ready for the fair. Bencourt helps the students at practices with all of their animals by getting them ready for showmanship. She helps teach weekly grooming, making sure that the kids know what they are doing, and as well making sure that the animals can behave the way that they are supposed to. Bencourt has no worries that Riley won't perform to her best this year.
Riley's probably the most competitive person I know. I know she has some pretty high standards on how she wants to do herself, both in the market and the breeding categories. You can tell she puts in the extra effort because her animals are always the cleanest. They're always the most well-behaved because she puts in that extra time to make sure that her animals are her best effort and her best reflection of herself.
This year, Riley plans on showing 4 lambs, 2 market lambs, and 2 breeding ewe lambs.
I purchased a breeding ewe in November of 2015. I bred her to a Dorset ram around end of November, December, and she had 2 twin lambs, and they were both ewe lambs.
Since Riley's in charge of all of her finances when it comes to the fair, she decided the best thing to do would be to sell one of them and keep the other. And because she actually bred that lamb herself, she will be able to get the chance to compete in bred by exhibitor class. And Riley will also be showing in the showmanship class to get some more practice.
That's a really exciting class because not many people are able to say that they breed their own sheep.
Besides hoping to win a first place ribbon or getting supreme champion at this year's fair, Riley's other main focus is just to have fun.
Whatever I get will reflect on how I worked, so I do hope and plan to get a top ribbon, but I don't want to say that and jinx myself, of course.
You can catch Riley, as well as many other FFA and 4-H students, during the Big Fresno Fair at the Livestock Pavilion, showing their livestock animals and all of their hard work that they have put into this past year. Tristan Lewis, Fresno Focus, Radio Edition.
Fairgoers will have an opportunity to buy the animals at auction. The money raised allows agriculture students to continue their animal projects and save for college. The 2016 Junior Livestock Auction runs today, Saturday, October 8th, and next Saturday, October 15th.
Many students face hardships living away from home for the first time. The Health Center offers help. Tyler Bartlam has a story of a Fresno State student who found help right here at school.
College students encounter a lot of changes when they transition from home to campus.
Probably have to be the first weeks of school, basically because I didn't know anyone there. I've always had problems with people. I wasn't a people person. I wasn't sociable. So that, combined with all the stresses of college, my mind just started to go into a emotional rampage, as I would like to call it, and I couldn't keep my emotions in check.
This freshman does not want to be identified, but he's willing to talk about the difficulties he's faced at a new college campus. We'll call him John.
I would say I have lots of anxiety. I can't keep my hands straight or my feet. But depression, I would say I do, but it's almost like in small doses, or if it's a serious case, then it stays there for a couple of days.
John found his way to the health center and talked with someone who had helped him. Recently, the health center has added more mental health services for students. Over the last year, there's been an increase in the number of students seeking help for depression and anxiety, but that's only a small percentage of the students who need help. Counselor Malia Sherman says the center serves about 5-7% of the population.
We don't necessarily give everybody a diagnosis, so I can't tell you an exact number, but last semester, so the spring of 2016, we had about 500 students who were suffering from either depression or anxiety.
Students have access to multiple programs, including one-on-one counseling, couples counseling, and group sessions called RIO, Recognition, Insight, and Openness. It is a 3-session program that focuses on giving students tools to deal with their anxiety. Counselor Leslie Weisler sits in a small dim room with a group of 4-5 students explaining the importance of maintaining a strong mental health, even if it takes a while to master. Students are given a packet where they're encouraged to journal their stresses. This is an opportunity for students to privately reflect on the things in life that have been bothering them. Weisler then leads the group into a breathing exercise.
And now just become aware of your breath. Just notice the gentle rising and falling of your belly and your chest.
John struggles with depression and anxiety, but has found that the RIO sessions have helped him.
In RIO, they taught us the whole take a deep breath kind of thing, and it did help me. It helped in certain cases in my classes to not cause a scene. Deep breaths help me control my emotions and just get through the class so I can go home.
John says he didn't know anyone at school and felt isolated. Sherman says this is a problem for most students.
The lack of support. A lot of our students are obviously living away from their families, or there's a big epidemic now of people just not being socially involved, so they don't have many friends.
One problem Sherman points out is that students who are depressed don't want to venture out and make new friends. The health center has a solution for this. Work it out. Students can go to the health center to partner with a student volunteer and go to the rec center together.
It gets somebody out of the house. It gets some physical exercise, but they also get some one-on-one interaction. So for people who are afraid to be part of a group or introduce themselves to random people in their classes, it's a way that they can make a connection and then hopefully meet more people from there.
John has trouble making and maintaining friendships, but is also aware that if he doesn't address his mental health issues now, they could affect him and others around him for the rest of his life.
These problems that I have personally have caused damage, I would like to say, to my family, my loved ones, and if I continue down this path, I'm just gonna end up bitter and alone, and I don't want to ruin any other future relationships.
Wisler agrees, saying that learning the tools to deal with one's depression and anxiety could change the course of one's life.
If you have the opportunity now to intervene, if you're having trouble now, why go through years of suffering, right? When you can learn things that you need to know now that can shift your whole experience.
For John, the health center has been a lifesaver. He urges anyone else who is struggling with depression to get help.
Getting help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of that you want to open up to yourself, that you're tired of going through whatever you're going through in your head. Just seek that help and you'll feel a whole lot better.
Tyler Bartlam, Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, KFSR.
It's amazing that, you know, we as college students, we are so busy with our lives that we don't take the time to befriend somebody new. And I really feel like we should.
Well, Tyler told us that John wants people to hear his story and if they're experiencing depression, to go to the health center. Imagine you have a pile of coat hangers and other kinds of junk metal. Now try to picture that same pile of used stuff made into a sculpture. That's exactly what Chris Sorensen does, or at least he used to. The story of one man who's found treasure in other people's trash. That's the sound of Chris Sorensen opening the metal gate to his studio on the corner of Van Ness and Railroad.
Here's my Cadillac.
Sorensen points to a three-wheel bike, a large tricycle, and gets on. At 91 years old, he rides his trike to get around his 23,000 square foot studio that is about half of the warehouse. Inside is a collection of art from different artists, including Sorensen. Sorensen is a metal artist who for the past 25 years created sculptures like the heart that sits at St. Agnes Hospital. Sorensen says it was his son who got him to start welding.
When my son was going to high school at McLean, he came home one day and he says, "Hey, Pop," he says, "bring home a set of torches, we'll do mail." I'd never heard of it. That's when beer was in steel cans. And whatever they made, they could sell as fast as they made it down the art factories. I got interested in it, went back to school and took all the classes I could get.
Looking at his art, you can find rabbits made from coat hangers, birds that you'd think would be alive but are actually made from steel.
That was a tank that somebody dumped out in front. They'd made a water tank and it leaked, so they dumped it in me. I cut the holes off.
It's like a kid in a candy store for those that like iron, torches, and workbenches strewn outside. But one thing is missing from the yard, the sound of Sorensen welding.
Well, I've been going to a heart doctor, and they finally, I had a seizure, and they took me to the regular doctor, and while I was in there, he grabbed my pulse right away, and he said he knew exactly what it was.
A weak pulse. A pacemaker was implanted to assist Chris's heart, but that meant he could no longer use an electric welder.
Because I can't weld anymore with electric, you know, I can just use a torch. So it's limited me down. And if you get this damn pacemaker, they control you.
But he isn't about to quit. While we were talking, his new toy arrives by forklift, a wood lathe. Sorensen is turning from metal work to woodwork. The change in his life is soon to change his art. Turning wood using a lathe.
Just something, another form of art. And it's a big form. I taking a piece of junk and making something out of it. Piece of wood you'd throw away.
Now, Chris Sorensen isn't the only one at his studio. He also lets other people use his space, like Eric Holt, who recalls the time he met Sorensen.
Pretty shortly after moving here, I heard about the studio. I came and visited,
I went to a show downtown, Gallery M.
Mm-hmm, yeah, M Street.
I invited him down.
Yeah, he did. There was a waiting list, but Chris he bumped me past that when he looked at my work, which was really, really cool.
A difficulty Sorensen recognizes is sometimes it's hard for artists like Holt to sell their work.
Artists have no money, and they want to do things and have to make a place so they can afford to come and do something.
And John Sorensen, Chris Sorensen's son and owner of Weco Welding Supply, agrees with them.
They know that one song that on Broadway, if you can make it here, you could make it anywhere. It's almost the opposite of that. If you can't make it in New York, you can't make it anywhere. All the high-dollar galleries are in the big cities, New York, Paris, San Francisco.
Still, Chris Sorensen encourages those who want to create art to just do it.
If you want to do it, do it. Don't think about it, just do it. If you worry about it, you'll starve to death. And Fresno is not an art town.
Brittany, something else you should know about Chris Sorensen. He's part of Art Hop, and occasionally the event takes place in his studio. It happens every first Thursday of the month, and you can see his massive gallery at Vanis and Railroad.
Let's talk about another kind of art. If you need to get something upholstered in Fresno, there's a man who's known for top quality work. He runs a family business that keeps the memories of his parents alive.
Well, my name is Cody Wells, and I own and operate Wells Upholstery.
Wells is sitting in his garage, turned upholstery shop, carefully cutting fabric for a booth in a restaurant.
And reputation is everything, and so now I'm building up Wells Upholstery, carrying on my father's legacy.
Wells was born and raised in Toll House near Fresno. He learned how to sew when he was only 12 years old.
I was really horrible at school. Never in my life did I even want to go to school. I wanted to be down in my dad's shop, always working alongside him.
This ignited a spark in Wells, and he continued to learn the upholstery trade from his father.
My dad's business was Hatcher's Upholstery. He bought that company when he was 23 years old.
Wells wasn't working in the upholstery shop. He was going to school and playing football until that night.
Both my mom and dad were in the car with my best friend's parents.
It's a date Wells will never forget.
April 19th of 2008, and as they were driving through, a car, a Jeep Cherokee.
Wells' parents didn't stand a chance. A distracted driver, a Fresno State student, who dropped her phone.
Leaning over to pick up her phone, she then came back up and saw that there was a cat. Come find out, it was actually a dead cat that was in the middle of the road. But as soon as she saw it, she swerved to miss it. She ended up driving up and over the center divider and landing on top of the car that my parents and my best friend's parents were in.
Cody's mom died instantly. His dad was flown to St. Agnes Hospital in Fresno and placed on life support.
Finally, the doctors came in and allowed us to see them. And then I walk in and I see my father, and he was laying on the bed. He had tubes going down his throat, and his head was swollen from being crushed, and he wasn't able to breathe on his own. And I don't really remember all the details of what I saw, but I do remember that was not my father that was laying right there.
Wells was 15 years old at the time. He, his brother, and other relatives anxiously awaited the doctor's word.
I remember going up there and holding his hand. His head was so warm, and I ended up ultimately saying my goodbyes to my father.
Wells passed the time talking with relatives about the family's early years and his father's wishes if machines were keeping him alive. They pulled the plug the next day, and Cody's father died.
That upcoming week had then become the longest week of my life. All of a sudden, I'm figuring out, like, wow, what am I going to do? Who's going to take care of me? Where am I going to be? At 15 years old, I had no answers to this.
Cody turned to his faith and his church, which prepared him for speaking at his parents' funeral. He read a poem that he had written for the upcoming Mother's Day, a poem he never got to read to his mom.
I remember my mom when I touched soft velvet. She is so soft-hearted.
And she loved butterflies.
At the very end, each one of us got a little package. And I was like, what in the world? What's in this little package? And inside this package was a butterfly. And on the count of three, everyone that was there that received the packet opened up the packet, and all of these beautiful butterflies flew up to heaven, you know? And it was just something that I'll always remember.
After the funeral, Wells bounced from house to house with no real place or family to call home.
Now, at 18 years old, I was still going to college, and I met another family. I pretty much consider him a brother of mine. His name's Manuel. Right next door to us was him and his father, who opened up a tire shop. And one day after I was working with my brother, I went over to that tire shop just to see what they were doing.
And finally, Cody found a family.
It started right after high school when me and my dad moved to, or we ended up opening up our own shop over in Clovis, and it happened to be right next to an upholstery shop named Hatcher's Upholstery. Well, me and my dad did mechanics there. Well, when the day shift ended, the upholsterers all left, and little nosy Cody wanted to come see what we were doing.
That's Manuel. He and Cody shared a room for the next 4 years and became best friends. Cody started taking upholstery jobs on the side to pay for his way through college. He graduated from Fresno State with a business degree and now owns his own house along with his own business. To this day, whenever Cody sees a butterfly, it reminds him that his mom is watching over him and his father is right by her side. His motto applies to his work and his life.
What you imagine, we make happen.
In other words, if you have faith and believe, anything is possible. Brittany Sosa, KFSR, Focus News.
This is such a great story. Edmer, here is this man who's been through so much in his life, and he's at a stage where he can talk about these type of things. I feel like this is truly an amazing story, and I'm so glad that we were able to tell his story.
Now that he's very comfortable talking about it, it's just really amazing. Finally this morning, a bulldog with a vlog. A vlog is a video log. The Urban Dictionary defines it as a journalistic video documentation on the web about a person's life, thoughts, opinions, and interests. A vlog can be topical and timeless, instructional and entertaining. The main thread is trying to communicate on a personal level with your audience. And that's exactly what Gertrude Vider did when she started her vlog, and then she took it into a completely different direction. Here's David Chavez with the story.
For those who don't know where Estonia is located, it's a country in Northeast Europe with a population of 1.3 million people. The official language there is Estonian. It has over 2,000 islands, and it's about 50% forest. One Estonian has made the journey to Fresno and is not the only one getting to experience what life is like in the Central Valley. Gertrude Vider grew up in the city of Tartu, Estonia. She's been playing volleyball ever since she was in the fourth grade. She's played for the Estonian junior national team for about 5 or 6 years now, and she's competed with them in the World Championships and European Championships. In 2012, she won the beach volleyball championship in Estonia, and currently she is the starting middle blocker for the Fresno State volleyball team. For some international students, making the jump from a different country to the States can be quite a difficult transition, but for Vider, she has found a way to stay connected to her friends and family back in Estonia. If you search her name on YouTube, you'll find her YouTube channel. She has over 3,600 subscribers.
I first started my YouTube channel in June 2015, and I started because I just kind of wanted to show people from home and my friends back home, my family, everyone, how I'm living here, what I'm doing here, what new things I'm trying, and like what I'm experiencing here.
And I'm spending Thanksgiving with her family. So I'm just taking you along, and I guess I'm showing you what a real American Thanksgiving looks like, if that makes sense.
In her first video, she posted a vlog of her trip across the States from Yosemite to Florida. and she was surprised to see that she had 1,000 subscribers shortly after she posted the video. Here's another clip from one of her videos.
We decided to get out of the car because, I'm gonna be honest, it's ridiculous how pretty this is. We haven't even gotten to like the main part of Yosemite, like the Glacier Point or the Half Dome. We're literally 10 minutes in the park and it's just breathtaking.
In May of 2016, she decided to start speaking mostly in Estonian, and after that, her subscribers jumped to 3,000. Vider says she switched to Estonian because more and more Estonians were commenting, asking her why she does her videos in English and not in Estonian. Vider says her teammates actually like whenever they see her turn the camera on.
Whenever like the camera's on, they like act goofy and they all want to be in it, and they just like, they're like, hi Estonia. And then whenever Taylor like hears me talk, Taylor Slover hears me talk in Estonian, she's like, blah, 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 blah. Did I say anything in Estonian? I'm like, no. No, I'm kidding. You didn't say anything.
Teammate Lauren Torres has been featured in many of Vider's videos, and in one of those videos, you could see Torres take Vider to a quinceañera.
What are these beans? Beans, macaroni, mingi, liha.
I remember at first, like, I was like, hey, they're gonna play a lot of Mexican music, so like, just go with it. And she's like, yeah, like, she's really going with the flow. And then I finally got her to start dancing, and it was a lot of fun.
Why did you get such a big piece?
I don't know, but I'm really glad.
Big girl, big piece.
That's right.
Vider wants to get more into filming and start learning more about equipment and cameras. After her time at Fresno State is done, she wants to start filming the process of becoming a tattoo artist.
I was in art school for 2 years. I didn't graduate there, but I've always liked drawing. It's like my thing that I do when I'm like stressed or I have anxiety. So it kind of helps me like calm down. And it's just like my thing, I guess. And I started drawing, like sketching like different little things when I was like 15, 14. And then I started like drawing my first tattoo. And I was like, dang, I should like, all my tattoos are gonna be drawn by myself. So I'm not gonna do anything that anybody else has. And that's kinda, because I draw my own tattoos, I kinda wanna draw for other people and like tattoo other people. That's kinda why I wanna get started with that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
How old were you when you got your first tattoo?
I was 15. I got it for my 16th birthday.
What is it?
It's a phoenix on my back. It's a pretty decent sized phoenix. It's a connection with my dad. Me and my dad, we had a kind of a rough relationship after they got divorced, but it has something to do with that. That's all I'm gonna say.
For Vider, the ability to share a culture with teammates and the people of Fresno is just as amazing as getting to stay connected with loved ones back home.
Tere, minu nimi on Kertu, ma mängin võrkpalli Fresnos ja mulle meeldib YouTube videosid teha. Which in translation is, hi, my name is Kertu. I play volleyball at Fresno and I love making YouTube videos.
David Chavez, Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, KFSR.
Next week on Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, reporter Judith Saldivar talks with an aspiring marriage and family therapist who is learning empathy through her own crises in life.
And the local musician who's making it big in the Bay Area says he's bridging the gap between poetic delivery and raw performance. Alexis Govea talks with Z Will about his evolution from high school basketball star to hip-hop artist.
We'll also hear the story of a woman who's without a home and trying to get her life back together. Thalia Redondo brings the plight of the homeless into full view. Fresno State Focus Radio Edition is produced by Professor Faye Sidlow. Our stories and interviews are produced and edited by Brittany Sosa, David Chavez, Tristan Lewis, Tyler Bartlam, Judith Saldivar, Alexis Govea, and Thalia Redondo. Natalie Nigg is our associate producer. This program is produced in collaboration with KFSR 90.7 FM. For Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, with Brittany Sosa, I'm Edmar Archila.
KFSR presents Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, Saturday mornings at 5. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.